Be in a revival meeting in South Carolina this week. So you continue to pray for one another. Come back here Wednesday night. And you need that midweek service. You need God more and more every day. Amen. Not less and less. You need God more so you'll sin less. Amen. So pray for us. Don't forget now, we'll be back here tonight at 5:45 for prayer room, 6 o'clock for service. We see the days approaching. We see more and more apostasy, more and more God's children falling away, and even God's preachers are falling out. And it's just a sad day we're living in concerning our spiritual need in our spiritual lives, but we need to keep going for God. Amen. It's almost time to open the doors of home, and we need to prepare. We need to get ready. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. You say, I've heard that all my life. Well, you won't hear it much longer. Amen. We're gonna finish that tune up here in just a little while, and then you can sing it with Antichrist. Amen. In Romans chapter number 1, I want to help you just for a little while. I want to read just one verse. Stand with me and stretch just a moment as we read verse number 20. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. I want to speak to you today, God being our helper, on this thought. Failure is not an option. Failure is not an option. And the Bible says in verse number 20, for the invisible things of Him, that's things you can't see. You see, the Bible's not complicated, we just make it complicated. If you want something hard to understand, grab your NIV. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God, thank You, Lord, for allowing us to be in church this morning. Thank You for the Sunday school hour. God, I thank You for what we've already picked up and learned from Your Word this morning. I pray now, God, as we venture into the preaching time, God, that You might fill us with that unction that's needful today, God, that we might preach with the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, not with excellency of speech and swelling words. God, we don't care about what man thinks about our words, God. Lord, I realize the responsibility that we have toward You. And I pray You'd make preaching easy. Guard our lips and let us not say or do anything, God, that would not be pleasing to Thee. And I pray, Father, Lord, You'd receive the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Failure is not an option. We live in a world today where people are always making excuses for their failures. They're making excuses for everything that they do in their life that's a failure. Whether you think it's a failure or not, if it's a failure in the sight of others or a failure in the sight of God, but here's our frame of mind. If we can just excuse it, if we can make an excuse for it, then we can justify our life and go on. Amen. The reason that our children are in a mess today is because when mom and dad gives a rule or an order, that really ain't what they mean. Amen. As long as I can justify what I'm doing to rebel against authority and give an excuse for it, it's all right. Amen. That's the frame frame of mind that America has today. In other words, they anything in life, as long as you can make an excuse for it, it's like if the pastor says, now everybody be here at 10 o'clock, amen, and three or four come in at 10 minutes after 10, and they say, well, you know, I just had a problem this morning, I couldn't get this to work and that to work, and so in your mind, as long as you have an excuse, you can justify tardiness. As long as we have an excuse, we can justify laziness. As long as we have an excuse, we can justify our slothfulness. We can justify our life that we choose to live. Amen. I'm trying to help you. Amen. But I want to suggest to you this morning, and I want to just preach a little while, failure is not an option. Let me say this. Some failures are inexcusable. There's some things in your life that are inexcusable. There's some things in our life that no excuse will fix. Amen. There's some things in our life that you cannot have an excuse for. You say, preacher, what are those things? I'm glad you asked. I want to give you just a few of them. Amen. I'm going to show you some things this morning. There's some things in your life that you'll never, ever, ever have an excuse for. We have learned to live by excuses. We have learned, as long as we can make excuses, we can do it like we want to do it, and God will just have to accept it. I want to tell you, can I just drop this by while we're preaching, amen? And can I just say to you this morning that God is not accepting as much as you think He is, amen, of your life. I'm saying, dear God, that we have decided this is how I'm going to be as a Christian. This is how my life, this is what I'm going to commit to God. This is how I'm going to live. And God, you can take it, like it, lump it, dump it, whatever you want to do, but if you want me as a Christian, this is what you got. Well, I want to tell you something. You better be real careful today. What is it keeping God? What is it that just keeps God from snapping your neck and taking you out of this world? Amen. God don't need you this morning. You need God. Amen. In the worst way, we need God. So let me give you some things that there are no excuses for. There's some things that's inexcusable. A failure, listen to me carefully, I'll hurry through them. Failure to be saved is inexcusable. There's no excuse for not knowing Jesus Christ. There's no excuse for not being born again. There's no excuse for not being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Could I just show you how that verse we just read shows us that creation forbids excuse. Creation says, you don't have a right to have an excuse for not being saved. Creation says, if you got eyes in your head and you can look up at night and you can see the stars, you have no excuse for not being saved. If you can look at the sun or the moon or the galaxies or the clouds or the rain or the thunder or the lightning, you have no excuse for not being saved. Amen. I'm telling you, you're without excuse. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, therefore thou art without excuse. Amen. We don't have an excuse for not being saved. You don't have an excuse for dooming your soul to a devil's hell. Amen. There's no excuse for a doomed soul. Creation forbids the excuse. Grace forbids the excuse. Grace is there if you want it. Amen. There's enough grace to save the world. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is simply a gift of God. It's God loving you and God giving you His Son and God giving you eternal life. And there's nothing you can do about it. Amen. That's grace. Amen. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, it was grace for Noah to be able to build a boat. It was grace that the angel of the Lord came and grabbed a Lot by the hand and took him out of that city of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was grace, bless God. It was grace, amen. I'm telling you, grace forbids an excuse. You say, well, the reason I didn't get saved, grace says you don't have a reason. Grace says you're not going to find a reason. Grace says there's nothing you can say or do that's going to get over on God at the judgment seat because you wouldn't get saved. Amen. You're without excuse. Come on now, shake your head right there or something. Amen. I'm telling you, there's no excuse for not being saved. There's no excuse for a doomed soul. You say, preacher, the reason I'm going to hell is because there is no reason. Hey, listen, faith says there's no excuse. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hope for and the evidence of things not seen. Amen. By faith Noah did this. By faith Enoch did that. By faith Moses and Joseph and Joshua. By faith. Hey, faith says you don't have an excuse for dying and going to hell. Amen. There's no excuse for a doomed soul. I mean, there's no excuse for going to the devil's hell. The hell was not created for you. Hell, you're not supposed to go to hell. You don't belong in hell. If you go to hell, it'll be because you would not receive the grace and mercy of God by faith. Amen. Come on, I'm trying to help you right there. Amen. I'm telling you, creation forbids excuse. Grace forbids excuse. Faith forbids excuse. The gospel of God forbids excuse. What's the gospel, preacher? You sure you want me to tell you? Because once I tell you, you're going to be without an excuse. Amen. Hey, the Bible says how that Jesus died for our sins and was buried and on the third day rose again according to the scriptures. You say, what's that? That's the gospel of the grace of God. Hey, you know what that gospel says this morning? That gospel says you don't have a right to die and go to hell. You don't have a right to be lost. You don't have a right to doom your soul. You don't have a right to leave here. Hey, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the grace of God that Paul preached, made you a way and escape from eternal damnation. The gospel forbids you to have an excuse. Amen. I'm talking about a doomed soul. You sitting here this morning and you think works is going to get you in. Works will send you to hell. Religion will send you to hell. Being a pretty good old Joe, I can say that, that's my name. Being a pretty good old Joe will wind you flat on your back in a devil's hell. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, you got to be born again. And if you get the gospel, if you get the grace and it's there, if you get the faith and it's there. Hey, if you get those things, if you don't get none of those things, go outside tonight and look up at the sky, and if you can see a star or a moon or a cloud, bless God, you don't have an excuse for being damned. Amen. The Bible says they're without excuse. Amen. That's what he says at the end of verse 20. He said, so that they are without excuse. Creation forbids excuse. Grace forbids excuse. Faith forbids you to have an excuse. The gospel forbids you to have an excuse. In other words, it's like this. If you want to go to hell today, you can go, but it'll be hard. Amen. If you want to go to hell, you'll have to stumble over the cross. Amen. If you want to go to hell today, you can go to hell today, but you're going to have to tear away from the Holy Ghost of God. You're going to have to tear away from the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God. You're going to have to stumble over the cross of Jesus Christ. You're going to have to insult God. And when you stand at the white throne judgment and you face God, you'll be without excuse. Amen. God say, why didn't you get saved? You won't be able to say because I didn't hear the gospel. You won't be able to say because I had no grace. You won't be able to say because I had no faith. You won't be able to point your finger at God and say because I never seen you in creation. Amen. Well, I can see I'm just hurting your feelings. Let me go on a little further. Amen. If you go to hell, you're going to have to reject the Word of God. That doesn't seem to be a problem with folks today. Even folks call themselves Bible believers, get a King James Bible and read it and really don't believe what they read. Hello. Trying to help you, amen. Listen, if you go to hell, you're going to have to escape the prayers of the saints. Amen. It'll all be vanity and vexation. It'll all be void and good for nothing. I'm telling you, if you want to go to hell, you can go. If you want to doom your soul, you can doom your soul. But you won't have an excuse for it. Why didn't you clean your room? Well, I had to catch that last few minutes of that movie. See, to you, that's an excuse. And as long as you can come up with an excuse, you can justify it. Well, what are you going to do when you stand before God and God says, why didn't you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'll tell you what you ain't going to say. You ain't going to say, because I never had the grace of God. Or I never heard the gospel. Or I never had faith. Or I never seen the moonshine. Hello? Listen to me now. I'm going to hurry. There's five or six more of these. Can I give them to you? There's no excuse for a doomed soul. Amen. Failure is not an option. Failure to be saved is not an option. Failure to live a victorious life is not an option. Failure to live victorious is not an option. In other words, there's no excuse for a defeated life. There's no excuse for a defeated life. In Revelation chapter number 12, I'll read this to you. In Revelation chapter number 12, let me show you what it says here in verse number 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Amen. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying I'm talking to Christians now. If you've been born again, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, if you have a testimony for God, if God's came by and pulled you out of that horrible pit, I'm telling you, you have no reason to look down. You have no excuse for having the mully grubs, amen. You have no excuse for poor mouthing and backbiting and being bickering and fighting. And hey, you have no excuse for living a defeated life. Why in the name of God do Christians spend their life in defeat? Every time you turn around, it's woe is me. I can't get through this. How am I going to make it? What am I going to do? How do I fix this problem? Hey, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Amen. But you don't have a right to be defeated. You say, why don't I, preacher? Because you've already won. You're already victorious. Amen. You're already on the winning side. You're already achieved the prize. Amen. Are you hearing me today? Listen, I'm convinced that the devil knows more scripture than most Christians do. Amen. the devil ain't dumb as most Christians. The devil knows if he gets saved, I'll never get him. If he gets saved, he'll never be mine again. What are you saying? I'm saying the devil is smart enough. The devil knows enough scripture to know. He knows once you're saved, that's the end of it. So what does he do? He twists his doctrine. And he says, well, I know they can't lose it. And God knows they can't lose it. But if I can keep them from knowing they can't lose it, I can cause them to live a defeated life and never be productive for God. And after all, that's all that matters to him anyway. He just hates God, and he hates anything that keeps him from God or stands in the way of God. Amen? I mean, the devil don't want you to have victory in your life. The devil wants you to be defeated. And so he puts you in this church, and he gives you this preacher that stands up there, this old wet back, this old noodle brain, and he stands up there, Dr. Fluffyhead, and he says, now, brethren, all my comrades, and all my, we're all children of God. And God, now listen, and if you don't work this, and do that and do that yonder, you could lose your salvation. You got to stay on the highway of holiness. Isn't that what he said? It's a highway, and you got to walk in it. You got to stay right with God. If you don't, you'll lose it. Can you imagine? Being right all the way up to the day of the rapture and then falling out? That's right out of hell. Ain't no such thing. It's not what you did. It's what he's already done. It's a done work. It's a done deal. It ain't got nothing to do with you. God wouldn't give you the time of day if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. The reason he even saved you is because his son died and took your place on an old rugged cross. And because of that, he'll pay you attention. I go out and knock on doors. Have you ever been saved? Yeah, I was one time. You ever met Jesus? Yeah, I met him one time. Well, where you go to church? I don't go to church anymore. I backslid. If you died, would you go to heaven? No, I'd go to hell. Why would you go to hell? Well, because I lost it. You never done nothing to get it. Amen. It's a gift of God. Watch my lips. Read my lips. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. Hello. Well, my Lord. And so the devil's got you in this false doctrine, and you got this heresy in your mind, and you think, man, I got to do this, and I got to make this, and I got to fix this, and I got to stay here, and I got to do that, and I got to walk this way, and I got to, you know, and my God, hey, if I had to work for it, I'd shoot myself in the head. If I thought, then I'd die and go to hell because I committed suicide. I mean, it ain't worth it. Life ain't nothing. It just ain't worth it. Amen. I mean, after all, Jesus Christ committed suicide. You reckon he's in hell? Samson committed suicide. Reckon Samson's in hell? Hello? See, we're so mixed up. We don't know where we're coming or going. You know what your problem is? You got born again. You never got in that book. You never got in a sound Bible-believing church. You've been tossed from pillar to post, and you don't know whether you're coming or going or up or down or in or out. Amen. And so you live a defeated life most of the time. God said there's no excuse for it. There's no excuse for living a defeated life. Amen. Failure to live victorious. Let me give you the next one. I got to hurry. It's time's up. Man. This boy, Catholic boy and a Baptist boy, they lived in the same neighborhood and they met one another. And the Baptist boy said, I'll tell you what let's do. Why don't you come to my church and I'll go to your church and visit? And they said, okay. So they did. And in the first week, they went to the Catholic church. Catholic church. And they went in there. A few minutes, the bell rang. And the Baptist boy looked at the Catholic boy and said, what does that mean? He said, that means you need to kneel and pray. A few minutes later, the bell rang. He said, what does that mean? He said, that means you need to, it's time to take Mass. He said, a few minutes later, the bell rang. He said, what does that mean? He said, that means it's time to stand up and take the papal blessing and leave and go home. Okay, so next week they went to the Baptist church. And they went in there and sat down. And he said, all right, let's sing. Page number so-and-so. He said, what does that mean? He said, we all stand up and sing. He said, next he looked up there and four men went up front. He said, what does that mean? He said, they're going to receive an offering today. He said, then one man, they all sat down. One man got up, stood up behind the pulpit and took his watch off and laid it on the... He said, what does that mean? He said, nothing. See, failure to be saved has no excuse. Amen? There's no excuse for a doomed soul. There's no excuse for a defeated life. Can I say this? Failure to have a sound mind has no excuse. There's no excuse for a disturbed mind. You know what Isaiah 26:3 says? That will keep him in perfect peace. Who? Watch this. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Amen. See, I have never in my life, I've been saved for years and years. I have never seen like the people in psych wards, Christians. I have never seen like the people in mental hospitals that are Christians. I'm telling you, they've lost their mind. They can't shake the devil. They can't. You know, there's this heresy running around the country. I know you've probably been taught it this way, but that's not the way it is, folks. And this crowd teaches us, and they say, well, the devil can't touch you because you're saved. And you cannot be devil-possessed. Isn't that what you've been taught? Listen, can I ask you a question? Has the devil ever got your mind? Has he ever got your money? Has he ever got your home? Did he ever get in your vehicles?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you. Has he ever got your back or your feet or your legs? Yeah. I mean, has he ever got in your family? Yeah. Has he ever done that? Has he ever got in your worship, your faith? Amen? Has he done that? Yeah. What else is there to possess? The only thing he can't possess is your soul. He can have everything else. And you know what we'll do? We'll give him our mind. You say, how do I give the devil my mind? The Bible says that will keep him in perfect peace. Who's what? Mind is stayed on him. Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, what the problem is, we put our mind on Jesus Christ in some total about 30 minutes a week. And the rest of the time, it's on the world. And other than that 30 minutes, I'm not talking about you're at church maybe 3 or 4 hours if you come every service. I'm talking about how long your mind is on Christ. It's on Christ maybe while you're singing about Him. Or maybe while you're reading the Bible. Or maybe while you're praying. But other than that, other than those times, it's on the bills and it's on the job and it's on the church, it's on the school and it's on the court and it's on everything and every problem and every trouble. And dear God, you don't trust God and you live for yourself and you come by and ask God to bless you if He can. I'm telling you, that's our life. And the reason Christians' minds are warped and they're defeated and they're disturbed is because they keep their minds on the world more than on Jesus Christ. We're supposed to keep our mind in the Word and not in the world. Amen. And the reason our minds are disturbed is because we keep them in the world. Amen. And so every man does that which is right in his own mind. And that's why Christians are some of the hardest people in the world to talk to and counsel with. Did you know that? Because they think because they're Christians, they got it in their mind, this is the way it is, and that's the way it is, and it ain't going to change. You can't change them. I'd rather deal with three drunks than one Christian. You can talk to a drunk and help him a little bit. Man, these Christians get their mind made up. It don't make any difference. I'm telling you, it's my way or the highway. This is the way it is. And you get full of yourself and you cannot be changed. Every man did that was right in his own eyes. Amen. And just whatever you think's right. That's why when you start to do something, whenever something changes in your life, change can be dramatic. But when something changes in your home or in your routine, when something breaks the pattern of your routine, I can always tell when the devil sometimes is in it. You say, how, preacher? Because you'll avoid me. I'll have to find out from Sister McGillicuddy what you're doing in your life. Some of you have made decisions, dramatic, life-changing decisions, and you never, ever once came and said, preacher, what should I do? What would God have me to do? You know why? Because you knew God would give you the answer and you didn't want to hear it.
That's right.
Am I trying to help you or what? That's what's wrong with us, folks. We don't want to hear the truth. We don't want to hear the answer. And so we convince ourselves that we're right with God and this is the right thing to do and I don't need anybody telling me what to do. And the last person we want to talk to about it is the preacher. Because God might just tell him what we need. Hello? And so you go ahead, you do it your way, and after a while, you realize we messed up. And then you try to undo it. And there's so much damage and so much has been irreversed, you can't fix it. If we'd have just stopped when it first came to us and it was first introduced, if we'd have just stopped and got some counseling. Listen, you knew it wasn't right. The very fact that you would not confront me with it proved that you knew there was something wrong with it. I'm just trying to help you. I got people out of church right now and they never came and said, preacher, what do you think about this? Well, there's no excuse for a disturbed mind. Can I give you a couple more? Let me hurry. Is your roast burning? Failure to have unity in the home, there's no excuse for it. There's no excuse for a divided house. Ephesians chapter 4, let me read this to you. I'll hurry, but I need to give this to you, folks. Ephesians chapter number 4, and read verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you, I plead with you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, all those fruits of the Spirit, look at them. Forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the what? Unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Amen. Look at verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So why is there division? Why can't we have unity? Amen. Now, let me read 1 Corinthians. Right quick, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, you need to see this. I'm just trying to help you, folks. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll be through soon. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, I beg you, I plead with you. Is that what he's saying? Brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, unity, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. All divisions. You know what? Can I tell you something? Listen to me. You have no excuse for divisions. There is absolutely no excuse for a divided home. There's no reason, Brother Jimmy, why you and your wife can't have God in the center of your home. There's no reason why, Brother, you and your wife can't have God in the middle of your home. There's no reason why your home can't be full of God. There's no reason why you can't have prayer in your home and you can't have Bible study in your home. And there's no reason why you can't have devotions in your home. And there's no reason why you can't have peace and joy and long-suffering and love and gentleness and meekness and kindness in your home. Amen. There's no reason for it. There's no excuse for not having a godly home if you're saved. Well, preacher, she don't love me anymore. When'd you quit loving her? Well, I just can't stand old battle axe. Well, that ain't the way you felt when you married her. It ain't Christ that splits y'all apart. There's no unity because somebody ain't walking with God. I can show you every home, every Christian. I'm telling you, two people say they love each other and they love the Lord Jesus Christ, and one of them can't live with the other one because they're walking with God. Somebody's lying. You say you love the Lord, but you can't love that man that says he loves the Lord. Somebody's lying. You say you love the Lord, but you can't love that woman that's trying to love the Lord and be submissive to you. Somebody's lying somewhere. You say, wait. There's no excuse for a divided house. No excuse for it. Amen. Division comes from pride, selfishness, and immaturity. God is not the author of confusion. God is not causing chaos in your home. You're causing it. When man, you don't follow the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're not submitting yourself to God and to His will and His word, hey lady, when you don't submit yourself to your husband, don't throw rocks at me. Don't get mad at me. I didn't set it up. I just read it. I just preach it. God set it up that way. Hey, you know what I'd do, lady, if I was you? I'd be thankful. You're off the hook. Man, if my home don't go well, as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, it's on him. God's going to hold him accountable. But you're just going to find that in the King James Bible. See, you know why there's 200-something different versions? Because every time man get the worse and worse he gets, the more and more he has to write a book to justify his life. But you ain't going to get away from that book. You can live all your life by American Standard Version, but you're going to be judged by the King James. You can live all your life by the New Idiot Version, but you're going to be judged by the King James. You can live your life by the Mickey Mouse Version, but you're going to be judged by the King James. Amen. You're without excuse. Well, let me go ahead and make the rest of you mad. I'm telling you, failure is not an option. There's no excuse for a divided house. Let me say this, and I'm going to quit. Failure to have a living church is not an option. There's no excuse for a destitute church. Ephesians chapter 5, while we're there, I'll read verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. You ought to underline it, that's the key. Filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Amen. The absence of being filled with the Spirit of God is failure. And there's no excuse for failure. There's no excuse for having a dead church. There's no excuse for having a destitute church. Folks, I've been accused of a lot of things. I'm not the greatest man in the world. I understand all that. But you won't ever accuse me of not trying to keep a fire built in this pulpit. Amen. If this church is dead, or if it dies, or if it is destitute, it is not because I have let the fire go out in the pulpit. I've tried to do my part. I've tried to keep the fire in my singing. Amen. I have tried my best to keep the fire even in my teaching. Amen. I have tried my best to be an example of a life that's victorious. I've tried. I fail a lot. I'm just right now I could scream. My body, the way it feels right now. But I want you to see victory in my life. There's no excuse for having a destitute church. There's no excuse for not having joy when you come to Sunday school. There's no reason. You have no right to come to church and quench the Spirit of God that others are trying to have. You have no right to come to church and be silent while others are singing. You don't have a right to do that. There's no excuse for not having the right spirit in worship. There's no excuse for not following the authority of the leadership. But if you do, it'll cause the church to become destitute. Dead and depraved. We don't want that. We want a living, thriving church. We want others to hear about us down the road and say, what are they doing up there? Let's go see what's going on. You say, well, it's for this preacher. We're supposed to be dead. You know, it's like the sign I told you about. I've always read when I go back up to my wife's up there, home in Columbia. She don't like the place either, but we go in there. We used to, we don't anymore. We went in there and it said, big sign in the vestibule, said, if you must talk, whisper. If you must whisper, whisper a prayer. And if you must sleep, Get something to stop the snoring. That's what he should have said. My preacher said one time, Brother Joe, he's talking about preaching. I was killing myself preaching. And I still am. And he said, Brother Joe, he said, it don't always have to thunder to rain. I said, I know, preacher, but a good slow rain puts me to sleep. Like to have a little thunder every once in a while. With the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. What's demonstration? I'm going to demonstrate to you the Word of God today. Whom I have sent. God is in His holy place. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. I got a word for that in the Greek and the Hebrew. Folks, we don't have a right to have a dead church. We don't have a right to have a divided home. You don't have a right this morning. You don't have a right to have a disturbed mind. You don't have a right to have a defeated life or even a doomed soul. Matter of fact, there's no excuse. You have no excuse today. Some of you owe God an apology. Some of you just flat out owe Him an apology. Some of you may need to get saved. Let's stand. Brother, play something while he plays. If you need to come, you come this morning. Whatever your need is, you come. If you need to apologize, you come apologize.